Good morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack, and across from me is Jim. We are back on the Thursday edition of The Morning Show. It is Thursday, December 29th.
The last Thursday.
The last morning show. Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because we don't have any on Friday, and Saturday is the last day of the year. And then, hello, January. Hello, 2023.
Can you believe it? Well, anyway.
I can't.
We're here, and our guest today will be Mr. James Benoit, who is going to be joining us and talking about an upcoming continuing series, a program on KRFY. The Reggae Show, which currently takes place on Sundays, Sunday afternoons, is moving to Monday and is taking back its old title of Inland Island.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I do want to say, when I cut in earlier this morning to Democracy Now!, I got my schedule sort of...
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's the end of the year.
Mm.
That I said that we're going to talk and feature deceased singer-songwriters during this past year, and I've totally spaced out that James would be. Good morning, James.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and we'll get you ready in a second. So what Jack and I are going to do is we're going to spend time this morning with James, and then we're going to do next Thursday, the first Thursday in 2023, we'll do the deceased artists.
Yes, a look back in fond remembrance of our...
Absolutely.
Yes. First, let's talk about the weather.
Okay.
And then
let's talk about it.
And we have a constantly shifting and changing forecast. today,
putting it mildly.
Yeah. Today, the high is 36 degrees, mostly cloudy and calm wind. There's a chance of snow tonight as the low falls to 31 degrees. Snow and rain or snow are likely tomorrow, especially in the morning. A high of 36 degrees on Friday, tomorrow. And then a 30% chance of rain or snow on Friday night. On Saturday, a chance of rain or snow, 30%. And a high of 36 degrees again. So this mid-30s kind of temperature continues right up until the new year. And then on New Year's Day, mostly cloudy and a high of 33. And on Monday, a high of 31 degrees and mostly cloudy. So the precipitation happens now and then, looks like kind of not so much of a chance of stuff coming out of the sky as the weekend rolls in, but still cloudy and about, you know, holding right around those freezing temperatures. I do have a winter weather advisory.
Oh, advise me.
Here, from the National Weather Service. In effect from 1 p.m. this afternoon to 10 p.m. Tomorrow, snow is expected. Total accumulations between 2 and 5 inches in the northern panhandle. That's Athol, Boulder Creek Road, Deer Park, Sherman Pass, Kettle Falls, Colville, Priest River, Republic, Northport, Inachellum, Schweitzer Mountain Road, Oren Rice Road, and the Highway 20 Wakanda Summit. Anyway... from 1 p.m. this afternoon to 10 p.m., plan on slippery road conditions. The hazardous conditions could impact the Friday morning commute. Slow down and use caution while driving, advises the National Weather Service. The latest road conditions for the state you are calling from can be obtained by calling 511.
Oh, so there. Interesting, interesting. Yeah. I'd like to switch weather forecasts, as I do most Thursdays, through the wonders of technology. My sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY. And there, Jack and Jim happen to be. And my sister says it's 35 now in the D.C. area, high of 53 expected, sunny and clear all day, beautiful winter day. She says, but then I have an additional, you know, with the wonders of technology, and I've got some friends in Italy who are tuning in on their computer. Can you believe that we just go everywhere? And I want to say a big shout out to the Soldati family. Luigi is tuning in, and he has two beautiful grandchildren, Julia and Ricardo. And they sang happy birthday to me over on WhatsApp when my birthday rolled around in early December. And that was super. So a big shout out to my friends in Genzano di Roma. And I hope all is well and that they're having a good end of the year. But again, technology takes us everywhere.
We're past the winter solstice, as we all know.
Yes.
I was just looking to see how much daylight we have gained since yesterday. Guess how much longer today is. Anybody got a guess?
James, you first.
I believe it is 15 minutes longer than it was yesterday.
Ooh, I'll go 38 seconds longer.
Jim is closer. It's 41 seconds longer today.
Count it. Ta-da!
but I do like like
that's
the way
optimistic.
You're
yeah.
That's spoken like an island person.
That's
you know,
right.
An island person with sunny and long days.
It's a state of mind.
I think come March it does start to add many minutes per day. You know, as you're going through the equinox part of the year. But right now we are just adding seconds every day. On the 23rd, on the 22nd, the day after the solstice, we added 2 seconds. So not very much, but it is increasing. Okay. Today we're adding 41. So it's one of those, what do you call that? What do you call that kind of math where it, exponential, right?
Upswing.
Yeah, it's on the upswing. Anyway.
We are in between holidays. Did you have a good first holiday, Jack and James?
Why, yes, I did.
It was. It was good. It was nice to have a Christmas back in Sandpoint after a few years on hiatus.
Ooh, we're going
to
be talking about that on your hiatus. A week ago at this time, I was making Christmas cookies.
Yeah, that would be right.
And
I was, did you have to travel at all on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Jim?
No.
Well, that's good.
I stayed put.
Yeah. We went out to Renko Loop on Christmas Eve, so west of town.
And it was nasty.
The driving conditions were very poor, I would say. I was a little worried we weren't going to make it to Christmas Eve dinner. Thought we'd end up in a snowbank somewhere. Not that we were in real danger, but it seemed like we were just going to come to a stop somewhere because we were not moving very fast. But we made it, and that was a happy occasion.
Any traveling for you, James?
No, we stayed local, which was nice. Even the drive back home from my in-law's house was a little hairy with the freezing rain.
But
it was a very nice time.
Yep. It has been, this weather has been...
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. I found, fresh leaves felt like if autumn leaves have now fallen on top of the snow as of a couple days ago with that heavy rain. So I have green grass on the bottom. Then a layer of leaves, then 2 feet of snow. Now I have fall autumn leaves on top of that, and now another, inch of snow or whatever we got yesterday.
Yeah, this has been brutal on trees. I would love to have an arborist come in because I still have leaves on some of my trees. And I'm hoping, don't know if it'll happen or not, but this afternoon, our eaves are just chock full with leaves and icicles form, and I'm afraid that it's not going to be loose enough for it to scoot up there and take the leaves out. But the oak tree in our front yard, the sycamore tree in our backyard is just, I feel like I should go out and rake.
It does, it's odd weather that we've had.
I don't ever remember a winter like that,
No.
where winter came so early that it caught the trees by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. That was before Thanksgiving, wasn't it? I think we had snow on the ground at Thanksgiving, and I kept expecting it to melt one more time, and you could do a little
get out and do your final concluding autumn chores.
Exactly,
never and happened.
No, I'm sure that come spring I will find things in the yard that have
darn just, that nature.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's our weather here in North Idaho.
Let's talk island.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get tropical.
I put on my sunscreen. Did you put on yours, Jack?
Yes.
Okay.
For the occasion, I did. James Benoit was a host here at KRFY, a DJ, a disc jockey, a broadcaster here at KRFY. It sounds like about 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's when you started. Yeah. And then and did it for, I think, a couple of years and then moved.
Yeah, did it for a couple of years and had young kids, which I think was the initial trigger of the hiatus, and then left the area for a while. Yeah, and came back. Jack reached out and it sounded like it made sense to rekindle the program. So
before we talk about the program, it is at least have it's of trivial interest. Where did you go? It's four, 6 years ago?
Yeah, so around 2014, my daughter was born. A couple of years later, we had a son, so got two young kids. And then around it's 2018, end of 2017, 2018, we made a decision to move our family to Uruguay. So we were living just outside of Montevideo. It was a very seat of the pants sort of decision. My wife and I always wanted to live abroad and sold our car, sold our house, sold all of our things, reduced our lives down to was something like 13 suitcases and booked an Airbnb for the first month or so we were there and flew down there kind of sight unseen. We'd never been there before, but had heard great things. So it was just kind of pursuing that experience while our kids were still young. And it was quite something.
I've never lived anywhere but the United States. And Jim, I know you did.
I lived for 2 years behind the Iron Curtain. I would be interested in James's. How did you end up in Uruguay as opposed to Tierra del Fuego or Mozambique?
Fair question. So when I was in college, I spent the better part of a year in Argentina.
Oh, cool.
And my wife had done an abroad experience in Ecuador. So she and I both speak Spanish. She was actually an elementary Spanish teacher. So we have kind of that language foundation and always wanted our kids to kind of learn as well as have that experience living abroad. So we're going initially to move to a place called Cordoba, Argentina, which is where I lived for a while, have a bunch of friends there. And, you know, within a few months of flying down there, Argentina, as has happened over the last couple of decades, was going through a pretty severe financial crisis. And my friends were like, might not be the best time to come, scarcity of common goods, that kind of thing. So we pivoted really kind of last minute. We'd already committed to moving abroad and discovered Uruguay. It's very linguistically, culturally, very similar to Argentina. Beautiful beaches. So that's what we did. And we bought tickets and we just went for it. Neither of us had ever been there before. So it was an intense experience. It was myself, my two children, and a cat, actually.
Did the cat have to go into quarantine?
No, it was... she had to be in the hold of the plane from Miami to Montevideo, which is a pretty solid 10-11 hour flight.
Right,
but she was,
right.
You know, once we arrived and we were there, she was no worse for the wear. It was pretty remarkable, actually.
You mentioned beaches. Does Uruguay border the Atlantic? I mean,
it does.
I'm gonna have to look at that again. I thought it was the river.
You can actually take a ferry across the River Plate from Buenos Aires to Montevideo. It's right there. So it borders Argentina to the west, southwest, and Brazil to the north. So it's kind of tucked right in.
And how much coastline then does it have? Much?
Quite a bit. I mean,
oh really? Okay.
Maybe half the country's border, a little less than half is coast. Yeah, beautiful beaches, especially as you get up towards Brazil. It gets much warmer. But we left in October and kind of had this endless summer experience, which was really cool. You know, we left as it was cold and icy here and arrived to springtime.
Yeah. That would be cool. I'm positive. Well, now I could, but I don't think I could identify Uruguay on a map. I had to in Spanish class in like 10th grade or whatever. But other than that,
I thought it was landlocked.
One of the middle ones.
Yeah, with Paraguay sitting on top of it and shoving it down to Argentina. And I never associate it with as an Andes country, you know, like Ecuador and Bolivia and Peru. Neat. What a fun experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. And you know, that endless summer was cool. I mean, we loved that. It's a good way to live.
So were you off? Were you kind of out in the the jungle? I guess.
It's interesting. Yeah. So I think as far as the southern hemisphere goes, Uruguay's as far as its southern latitude is close to like Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like eucalyptus trees, pine forests, beautiful birds. That's one of the things I remember a lot. I'd be on calls for work and everyone would think I was at a zoo because of the birds chirping in the background.
This was the, is that a rain? That must be a rainforest country. Right?
No, it's more temperate, more temperate. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. As you travel north, you know, up towards the Brazilian border and Florianopolis and places like that, it gets more tropical, but it's subtropical for sure.
Recommended?
Definitely.
Okay.
It's far. I mean, you know, to get there from here, it was Spokane to Dallas to Miami to Montevideo. So you could probably get to like Frankfurt a little bit faster as far as the travel time goes.
Well, it's quicker than rowing a boat, I imagine.
Yeah.
What were the years now or the, you know, from October?
Yeah, it was, if I'm remembering, it was like, it was October 2017 towards the end of 2018 or thereabouts.
I'd be sort of curious to your perspective. When I lived overseas at that time, it was Czechoslovakia for 2 years. You know, I learned a lot about the United States by how people see it and how they talk about it. And did you find that to be the case, that living in Uruguay, how you as an American are seen and the country is seen?
Yeah, for sure. You definitely get a different perspective. And, you know, it's interesting. I was kind of in the routine of reading like English language, international news created out of Uruguay. And it's definitely a different perspective. And one of the things that I remember most is that people, you know, as socially it was difficult at first, but we ended up making some close friends. And the one thing I remember is they just couldn't get their heads around the fact that an American family moved to Uruguay. That shocked a lot of people. Like, the question we always got is why did you come here? And it wasn't like, we don't want you here. It was just actually being curious about what drove us. And it was, you know, it was kind of a funny thing.
Well, it's sort of like a setup to what I started with, of all the places in the world that you could end up. Maybe from their perspective, you know, they're thinking of, ooh, I would go to A, B, or C.
Right.
You know, it's not a judgmental. It's more like an interest, like what drew you to.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny articulating the fact to people that it was, you know, it's not like we threw a dart at a map, but it was very seat of the pants and people were, you know, surprised by that, but welcoming at the same time. I mean, it's kind of culturally, it's more or less kind of insular, closed off. Like people, you know, if anyone's going anywhere from Uruguay, and that's kind of why they were asking, is people were trying to go to the U.S. because of whatever reason, the opportunity, things like that. And they were tickled by the fact that we chose to come there and were, you know, it was a great experience. Beautiful people down there.
I remember when I went to, at that time, the Slovak part of Czechoslovakia, I was teaching, for most of my students, their familiarity with the United States was Viennese television, where you got Dynasty and Dallas, and, you know, and that sort of thing. So it's sort of interesting to pull yourself out of the culture in which you're immersed and have an opportunity, which very few people get, to see how we're seen. Jack, you got to do it.
I think I would like to.
Annie and James.
I know.
What part of the world would you head to?
I don't know. I mean, I did once think that we should head to someplace warm, you know, like probably Uruguay or something like that. Like it would be nice to take a couple years off of just winter in general, you know.
What was the weather like?
You know, hot in the summertime. Wintertime was like Northern California. It was temperate, you know.
Humid?
Humid in the summertime, but you'd have your days where it wasn't so much, the humidity wasn't so intense, but the wintertime was like, you know, rain in the high 40s, 50s. I mean, I grew up on the Oregon coast, so it was like very comfortable.
Home.
Home-like, yeah.
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 We should, I mean, this could be the rest of the hour just asking James why he ended up in Uruguay. But
And then why did he come back?
Indeed.
And that sort of thing. But yeah. Should we take a
We know why he came back. Yeah. He came back for KRFY.
Yeah. And inland.
Island.
I keep on forgetting Inland Island. Yeah. It's almost a tongue twister. James is going to be airing. When do you start?
Monday at 8.
That would be the 2nd of 2023. Right. Doing some wonderful... I want to talk about your interest in reggae music and island music and all sorts of good things. Should we take a music break? And do you want to introduce what we're going to be listening to? Has Jack told you?
I have two tracks queued up and we can play either one.
So the first one, this is a song called Big Ship by an artist called Freddie McGregor, who's sort of a legendary reggae artist from Jamaica. The song was one of his bigger hits released in 1982. And it's one of my personal favorites. So figured we'd start with that.
Okay.
That's Freddie McGregor with Big Ship, a reggae tune from 1982, which James Benoit can tell us a little bit about. James is here as our guest on the morning show before taking over hosting duties for the Inland Island Reggae Show, which will begin on Monday night at 8 o'clock this coming Monday.
Yeah.
What's the significance of that song?
You know, I'm not necessarily a scholar of reggae. It's just a song I really love.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. It's got a great
How can you not groove? Just want to move exactly. to yeah. it? You yeah. know, you just, it's got a wonderful groove and, you know, the ocean, a ship, and sun.
So James is back in town from Uruguay taking back the reins of Inland Island. And the question is, how did a white kid from Oregon end up with reggae music as your passion? Because I know when you started as a volunteer broadcaster here at KRFY, it was always, you want to do the reggae show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was, I guess I'd trace it back to when I was in high school, like freshman, sophomore or thereabouts. A couple of friends of mine and I got involved with KMUN 91.9 FM in Astoria, which is a community radio station that was established back in the 70s out there. And we volunteered reading bedtime stories every night at 8. They have bedtime stories 8 to 8:30, and we'd volunteer to read stories on the air. And then met a fellow named Mark Erickson, who's been doing a show called Caribbean Moon from 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday evenings. Ooh. And it's a reggae show.
Nice name. Yeah, and I like the name.
Mark has deep knowledge of the genre and has been doing this show for a long, long time. And so we would volunteer to help when he was out of town. My friends and I would do the show. We'd come in and hang out with him while he did the show. And that's kind of where I first fell in love with just radio in general, but also reggae. I like just love the genre, love the vibe of the music, and learned a lot from him about it. And did that, you know, for a few years, just kind of volunteering here and there. It was always his show, but, you know, like I said, we'd help out. And then when I went off to university at Humboldt State in Northern California, got involved with radio there as well and had a show on the local university station. And it wasn't a reggae show necessarily. We played some reggae, but it was more just having fun on the radio. So that's kind of where it all started, I guess.
Jim, do you remember the first time you heard a reggae song?
Oh, gosh. You know, I was just thinking when James, you know, I skate on reggae surfaces. You know, I think of Bob Marley, Jimmy Cliff, Burning Spear, all of the ones that get attention. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to say the movie, The Harder They Come, The Harder They Fall.
Yeah,
that would be Cliff. Late 70s, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
That's kind of famously, I think, the big introduction of reggae music to the United States.
I'm just trying to think of, with my familiarity and history and relationship with pop music from the 50s and 60s and 70s, nothing comes really to mind. I'm sure there are some reggae songs that filtered over, but not coming to mind. I'd have to say the Jimmy Cliff movie and all of his music. How about you?
Oh, I think, you know, I do remember being in a car, like I was on the swim team, and I think somebody's older brother was taking us to a meet or something like that, and had Bob Marley's Legend, mm-hmm. of course, one of the best-selling records of all time, just the Bob Marley Greatest Hits collection, and that was mm-hmm. on, and that was my, I do remember just being like, what is this? Looking at the CD and that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Were you here, mm-hmm. James, when the festival at Sandpoint brought the Wailers?
Yes. I didn't get to go to the show, but yes, I was.
That was a wonderful show, and I took my grandniece backstage to meet them because at the age of about 10, she was a big reggae fan, and mm-hmm. meeting the Wailers mm-hmm. was like the frosting on the cake.
Oh, they're legends.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. It was a great one. 2 hours of a show, that's a lot of time to fill with music.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So you take over the show, and so how do you begin to focus in on what part of, you know, you mentioned Ireland, but is there a difference of reggae from Bermuda as opposed to Jamaica as opposed to St. Thomas?
There is. I mean, I think that the general way the music is composed and the way it sounds is generally the same, but there are subtle differences for sure. And there's lots of artists that I'll be playing. You know, there's an artist from St. Thomas actually called Midnight, which is one of my favorites, which is wonderful. I mean, prolific mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number of albums these guys have put out over the years, and they're still touring as far as I know. But and there's also a ton of kind of up and coming and newer reggae artists out of the United States too, which are wonderful. I think one of the next songs we're going to hear is from a band out of Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, cool. Places, cool. So. How do you access, you know, let me put it this way, that I find myself rather desperate for, you know, I read Rolling Stone, I get Mojo magazine out of London. I feel, you know, there's so much out there. And if you had a group of people, like a group of, what, reggaeists? you know, that where you sit down over a coffee somewhere here in town. Hey, have you heard? No, did you hear? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, how do you foster your knowledge of reggae current?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I myself am not all that good at discovering music myself, and so it really comes down to friends. I have several close friends who are always saying, "Hey, have you heard of this artist mm-hmm. or that artist?" Mm-hmm. You know, you plug it into Spotify, and I, to be quite honest, I'm a huge fan of the suggestion algorithm that Spotify has. You start listening to one artist, and the next thing you know, there's 20 others that are also great that, you know, you discover and you start listening to. And for me, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of friends, though. That's kind of where it usually starts, is, hey, have you heard of Mike Love, or have you heard mm-hmm. of Signal Fire, or, you know,
bands. Jack does he's got the local and regional musicians, so they're sort of, you know, here.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you talk with like Ben Olson, Ben will say, have you heard this and that and who's doing, or one of the Shook Twins, whereas you are out on an island.
Yeah, in a sense, yes.
You know, and so you became interested, fascinated. How did it become for you, because there's lots of other choices of music, how that became sort of like a centering point for you?
You know, it's funny. My wife Rebecca also loves reggae, and when I first met her, it was kind of like you know, this is something we have in common. So, you know, and I don't know. It's just, it's a feeling more than anything. Just love the way it sounds. Love the way it makes you feel.
Do you have a single concert that you a reggae concert that you flash on where you go, whoa? You know, that just resonates. Have you ever caught Jimmy Cliff?
I have, actually, and that's probably the one I would cite. I haven't been to all that many reggae concerts, to be honest with you, but I actually did. When I was in college, my folks moved to the Bay Area, and I was down there one summer and actually caught, it was a weird scene, but it was Jefferson Airplane and Jimmy Cliff in Sausalito, like in a park. And, you know, Jimmy was... You know, all the Jefferson Airplane people were like sitting in chairs and looked like they're about to keel over. And this was probably 2006. And Jimmy, he put on an amazing show. And I mean, I don't know how old he was at the time, but it was remarkable. Yeah. And I mean, you know, you recognize a lot of the songs he sings, like The Harder They Come and
Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
I kept up with through his Humanitarian album, and then he's released. I try to stay, you know, he's somebody I've caught him several times, mm-hmm. and he puts on an incredible.
Yeah, a lot of energy.
You know who has sort of gone over to island music, but not the Caribbean, is Taj Mahal. Mm. Taj Mahal has gone over to the Hawaiian Islands and created a sort of island sound there. But mm-hmm. we're talking about, I don't know about you, Jack, but I don't know the islands that well. You know, I just think of their sticking out of the ocean down off the coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more or less my impression of them, too. They're just down there.
Have you traveled to them?
I have not. It's on the list. It's on the list, though. It is for sure.
Well, maybe we should start a GoFundMe, you know, send James to the islands.
That's a great idea.
A little sabbatical.
And take us along.
Yeah. You would have to send shows back. I mean, you'd have to send radio broadcasts back to us from the islands. But do a James live on location kind of a show.
I'm a fan of that idea.
I imagine. For somebody who is tuning in right now, and you're going to be going, will you be doing this live?
I will.
Okay. On Monday at 8 o'clock, Inland Island. What can one expect to hear?
You know, I've got a quiver of music I've been collating and putting together. And so what I plan to do is play a lot of music, talk about the artists, talk about where they came from, you know, the record labels they record for, albums, you know, tours they might be on, things like that. And kind of trying to keep a pulse on what's going on in that world, just so people have an understanding.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Should we do another song and James can show his skills in introducing it?
Here we go.
Sure. Well, what's the song?
It's the song is called Too Late, right? The artist is Signal Fire.
That's right. Yeah, so this is, I mentioned this band a second ago. This is a band. Actually, speaking of how you discover music, a band that a friend introduced me to just a few weeks ago. And this is a band out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Of all places, temperate climate. They're probably having a nice 50-degree winter down there. But wonderful band.
They're probably freezing from their point of view.
Yeah, from their point of view, right. Relatively speaking, it's balmy, though. Mm-hmm. A song called Too Late by Signal Fire. So that was Too Late by Signal Fire. I hope you enjoyed that.
And we're here with James Benoit, who you just heard. It's Jack and Jim on the morning show. That was their band. That was a relatively recent cut compared to what we heard earlier. Anyway, and they're that's an American band.
That's said, right, out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Yeah.
Do you find yourself? This is what I find myself doing, and maybe other people do too. I go on YouTube. Mm. And boy, is that one rabbit hole after another, you know, and I'm wondering if you start going into YouTube and you find one reggae band that might lead you to another reggae band.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, those types of media channels like YouTube, the rabbit hole is real for sure. And I'll generally use it where, you know, what I'll do is if I find an artist I like listening wherever, Spotify or whatever it happens to be. And I'll be curious to say, you know, hey, what do these guys look like? What do they look like when they're playing this live? How does it sound when they're playing it live?
Exactly. And
getting,
visual.
Getting more of a feel for who the artist is, you know?
I say goodbye to the world when I start going down those rabbit holes. You know, first of all, what's evil about it, but not so evil, is that you'll do a cut. And then you'll do another cut, and then they'll have an hour and a half concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you know, your well intentions for that part of the day, like the afternoon, whoosh.
Oh, yeah, you got to be careful.
You know, but I love it. I love it. I mean, great stuff. You came back from Uruguay, but not to Sandpoint initially. You went to Astoria.
Yeah, so that's where I'm from.
Okay, so that was a home return.
Home return, yeah, moved. moved back to Astoria, where my parents still live in the house I grew up in.
And, oh, how neat.
Yeah, we were there for the last, we just moved back to the area at Sandpoint in July. So we purchased land a couple of years ago and are building a house. So we're in this transition time still. My wife is a teacher at Farm and Stidwell.
Gotcha.
Kids go there. So yeah, we're getting.
What does she teach?
Fifth grade.
And yeah. Does she employ any of her Spanish?
I think she does work it into the curriculum. It's an elementary class, so she has the same kids all day, but I think she does work the Spanish into the curriculum throughout, you know, different units in the year. Yeah.
Did Sandpoint look different to you in your your exit to the B&B in Uruguay to returning in July?
You know, not that different. What struck me as most different was when you're driving here from Spokane and driving through Post Falls and just all the development that's occurred. Town itself, I mean, yeah, some restaurants have changed. Some have gone away, sadly, but, you know, all mm-hmm. of our friends are still here. It was mm-hmm. pretty, mm-hmm. pretty plug and play getting back into the community.
I guess you would have missed the building. A couple of buildings have just gone away. Oh, the old Arlo's, right across the street.
Oh,
the,
The fire.
Yeah.
Did that occur while you were gone?
No, we were here when that happened. Okay. Yeah, sadly, I loved going to the loading dock. That was one of my favorite spots.
Yes.
But,
mm-hmm. Well, something is going on over there.
Change.
Change. Yes. It's afoot.
Indeed. Yes. Speaking of change, I don't know.
Hello, 2023.
Here it comes. Coming right down the pike. We are 15 minutes away from the end of 2022 on the KRFY Morning Show. How about that?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. My God. And then, but of course, with every bit mm-hmm. of change, every ending, there's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And we have a new beginning on Monday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Coming up next week on the KRFY Morning Show. Let's talk about it right now.
No, I was talking about James's show.
Oh, well, you were talking about Monday at 8
Monday,
o'clock.
Monday, okay. 8 o'clock. We can talk about next week's show.
That's true.
That I sort of queued up in my moment of spaciness, which oftentimes occur. Mm-hmm. The artist that we'll be looking at next week will be Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes with Be My Baby. Then we'll look at Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, from his Bat Out of Hell album. And what else did I queue? Oh, Vangelis. And, of course, if I play the first 10 seconds of the song, he'll clue in. It's that Chariots of Fire, the guys jogging along the beach. And but I fell in love with him in the late 70s with an album called Spiral that I heard in a bookstore in Alexandria, Virginia. I walk in there and totally blocked out whatever book I was looking for. But that album. And then we'll look at Jerry Lee Lewis, The Killer. We'll do Great Balls of Fire, Christine McVie, Pharoah Sanders, the saxophonist, the jazz saxophonist, passed away. Loretta Lynn.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that Loretta Lynn married at 15 and then moved to Blaine, Washington.
Wow.
Oh.
And she got her start in Tacoma area.
I didn't realize that
either. I didn't. Yeah. Hello?
Yeah.
That was a rabbit hole I went down through.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to be taking a backward glance at 2022 and Olivia Newton-John. We will take a look at, and Irene Cara, Flashdance, Oh What a Feeling. You know, we can do that and take the bucket of water and on us in. So a lot of good stuff next week, a lot of good music to transition into 2023.
On Tuesday, the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness will be in to talk about winter programs and events in the Scotchman's and here in our woodsy area. That's on the Tuesday morning show. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, tune in for Chris Bessler's interviews with Representative Sage Dixon and Mark Sauter and State Senator Scott Herndon, who will be talking about the upcoming legislative session. Sure to be an interesting one on Wednesday.
And then us on Thursday.
But most importantly, on Monday the 8th, or sorry, Monday at 8, on Monday the 2nd at 8 o'clock p.m., not a.m.
P.m., p.m.
Tune in for the great return of Inland Island, ta-da! Hosted by James Benoit. Anything in particular about this first show you want to mention?
No. I'm still in the planning phases, let's say, but planning to just focus on the music, play as much as I can. An hour goes by pretty fast when you're doing a radio show. I mean, it's only, 12 to 15, 16 songs, depending on how long they are. But
yeah, I find that with my folk show that, I want the focus to be on the music, not on me. And I just provide the threat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my vision for it is to, week over week to focus on an artist or two, learn some things about them myself, articulate those things over the air, play a lot of music that covers like the arc of a given artist's career. Yeah, so people can get familiar with it.
I do theme ones. Then I'll do just some that I just want to listen to these songs and share them with you. Yeah, and also the nice thing about folk music, when I'm not in the groove, I can do long folk songs.
Yes.
You know, one's about 15 to 20 minutes in length.
Just a jam. Yeah.
There should be some long reggae songs if there's a Monday when you don't feel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Or, and there's also one thing I like to do, too, is a lot of times, and this isn't just a reggae thing specifically, but listening to an album, in the order the songs were put together by the artist and letting the people just experience an album at a time, really, and respecting the sort of composition that they put out there, not with the song specifically, but the order of the songs and how they go together.
And that's something that I was talking to a local musician. I'm not going to say the local musician's name. And I was so excited about Yola's latest album. Mm-hmm. And this person said, oh, yeah, I know a song from it. This person listens on Spotify. Mm. And so you only get a song. You don't get the whole concept of the album, the order, the progression, that sort of thing, and which is a different world to me. I live by albums, not by songs. Mm-hmm. And okay, well, James, what do we say to a broadcaster who is before...
Any words of wisdom?
To an actor, you say break a leg, get a swollen tongue,
Stay hydrated.
Amen on that.
I don't know.
Jack, what do we say?
Well, maybe it does like there should be something.
There should be something we can say to a broadcaster who is going to be going on the air. But this will be a return.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're very glad to have you back.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
I have to admit that in the past couple of years, we've let Otto select the reggae music, and I think it's good to have a person who'll shape that body of music and give some sort of context for the music. And I think, but that's true with any genre, whether it be John with the jazz or me with the folk, giving that body of music shape. That's wonderful.
Breathing new life. Yeah.
What else is coming up here? We're going to transition now in our last couple minutes to some upcoming events. It is the Christmas holiday is behind us. The New Year holiday is just ahead of us. Coming up here in the Sandpoint area, we have all sorts of stuff going on. Tonight, that will be at 5 p.m. At the Woods Wheatcroft Studio. Cap off the year with an eye full of gorgeous photography by Sandpoint photographer Woods Wheatcroft as he presents a slideshow of the year in review. Doors open at 5 p.m. Slideshow starts at 6 p.m. at the Wheatcroft Studio, which is, he's only been in that space for, I think, a couple of months now.
Right.
104 South 2nd Avenue it's the corner of 2nd at Pine Street across from Utara Brewing. It's that, isn't there a hotel sign there? The Hotel Elliot?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. That'll be cool just to check out a local photographer's studio, if nothing else, but also to see his photography.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Live music with Chris and Lauren. That's Friday night at the Ponderay Winery. listen to their folk, rock, and roots music from 5 to 8, and they might throw in a reggae.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
You know, hey, possible.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to be heading into New Year's Eve. Do you have any New Year's Eve plans, Jack?
Actually, yeah. I think we're going to go see some friends up in Priest Lake.
Ooh.
What? Yeah, I know.
That could be fun. James?
It could be fun. We'll see.
Yeah. No hard plans. I've to be honest, it's been years since I stayed up all night for a New Year's, but this might be the one.
If you're listening to KRFY, I will play. I'll make sure that we have Auld Lang Syne. Right at midnight.
Guy Lombardo.
Yeah. The Guy Lombardo version of Auld Lang Syne will play at midnight on 88.5 KRFY. So be tuned in for that.
Can you program a single song like that?
Well, I'll just put it first in the kind of the hour.
Gotcha.
And then who knows what happens after that. So if you want to be tuned in, then you can, yes, that will happen right at the appropriate moment. You'll know when it's midnight, when that song starts up.
I do want to make mention of the Bonner Community Food Bank as we head into the new year, let's remember those people, those clients out there with Debbie Love's organization. They are always looking for volunteers as well as food items. So keep them in mind as we head into 2023.
Coming up tomorrow during the day. Kinnick-Sue Land Trust, or up at Pine Street Woods, I should say, hosted by the Kinnick-Sue Land Trust. Kids age 8 to 13 are invited to enjoy a fun-filled day of winter play. Dave and the Camp Kinnick-Sue crew have lots of outdoor winter fun planned, with sledding, games, exploring, building snow forts, warming up around a fire, and treats from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Come dressed to spend the entire day outside playing in the snow. There is a cost to it, but that cost, I believe, would go to the Kinnick-Sue Land Trust.
A good cause.
Mm-hmm.
A New Year's Eve tubing party. Ooh, baby. Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby. Head up to Schweitzer and spend your final hours of 2022. No going to bed, James.
Yeah.
Get your tube and head on up with an action-packed tubing adventure complete with snacks, hot chocolate, Twinkie and snack roasting, and an LED wand to light your way with colors. It all takes place at the Hermit's Hollow Tubing Center and Yurt. When tubing concludes, head over to the clock tower for a complimentary sparkler celebration at midnight to ring in the New Year's. See, that's something when I was in Europe, I don't know if they do it down in Uruguay, they set off fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, jeez, you know, I mean, I've been in square where they shoot them off at each other and you're ducking behind pillars of buildings. You know, you might not live into the next year, you know, the number of casualties. But tubing up at Schweitzer. Go to schweitzer.com for more information.
There's also, if you're hanging out in town instead, and this doesn't look like this will be at midnight, they'll be honoring the East Coast New Year's Eve at Matchwood Brewing.
Civil.
Yes.
At 9 o'clock.
So from 5:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., you can get a free beer at midnight, or at 9 o'clock, I guess I should say.
Okay.
There will be a live stream of the New York City, the big ball drop in Times Square.
Yeah.
And then it is a family-friendly party featuring specialty bubbles, beer specials, and a mocktail bar for the kids and designated drivers. So that's at Matchwood Brewing on New Year's Eve, starting at 5:30 and then ending not at midnight, but at 9 o'clock. So there you go. And what else coming up on the first? The registration deadline is for the Junior Race Series up at Schweitzer. Live piano with Bob Biedling. You know what's not here on this list is the Polar Plunge, and I wonder if they'll be doing that.
Yes, they are.
They are.
I think I read about that in the newspaper.
Okay.
That's an event I probably will miss.
The Boy Scouts will be hosting the Polar Plunge. If I was in town, I probably would go.
Are you a plunger, James?
I have been known to plunge, yes, but I don't make a habit of it.
In the water? I mean, cold water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm just getting cold right now thinking about that.
It is much. They didn't. Last year, we were in the middle of like a deadly cold snap. So they canceled it. Only the Boy Scouts were allowed to do it.
That's right. That's right.
So I was not able to do it last year. I think I did it the year before, though. I much prefer this one. I mean, the Sandpoint Polar Plunge is actually a plunge. You can just jump in and climb out because they cut a hole in the ice. Whereas there are some places where it seems miserable. You have to like wade into the water to actually get in and then get out.
Easier just to go for it.
Yeah, just do the jump. Yeah. Anyway, but that apparently will be happening here down at City Beach.
I read it in the B that they're going to have like a warming tent.
They do a nice job. Yeah, they cut a hole in the ice. It's safe because you got Boy Scouts there.
It's probably like standing 3 feet on like deep
all corners. Yeah, you could. I think there's an ambulance standing by should something go terribly wrong, but it doesn't. But the warming hut is really nice to have.
Is important, yeah. And I'm sure all the Boy Scouts have life-saving merit badge.
Yeah. So anyway, that'll be the polar bear plunge on New Year's Day, and I believe they do that pretty early, so, you know, you'll have to find this information online. I wish I had it at my fingertips, but I don't.
But we want to wish all of our listeners a very... happy and safe New Year's. If you're out driving, be wise and make sure that if alcohol is involved, have a designated driver. We want everyone to enter into 2023 in a good shape.
Yeah.
So, James, swell your tongue.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Good to have you back with us. And, Jack, you have a happy New Year.
Happy 2023. And to all you listeners, thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show in 2022. And stay tuned now for Bird Note in Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.